Calling Home Now, the part of the show where we check in with an expat overseas and see what they're up to, what's happening in their part of the world and what they miss about home, especially as coming back's not really an easy option at the moment, either for a short time or a long time. And today we're catching up with someone who's been out of the country in terms of living out of the country for quite a long time. That's Rebecca Brady in Buffalo, New York State in the northeastern US. Kia ora, Rebecca.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. And now, if I got this right, when we hear in American TV programs and movies about people talking about upstate New York, is that where you are?
Yes, that's where I am, exactly. That took me a little while to get the hang of too. But yes, we're in upstate New York.
And it's right, I mean, Buffalo is, I checked the map, it's right up there, pretty much almost on the Canadian border, right, with Lake Erie.
Yeah, exactly. We're like about a half an hour drive to Niagara Falls, and that's just right at the border there, and hour and a half from Toronto. We fly out of Toronto when we used to be able to cross the border easily, yeah.
And right now, I'm guessing that far north in the US in this time of year must be getting chilly. Not snow on the ground just yet.
Actually, to be honest, it's a bit scary. Last weekend we had snow.
Oh.
So it was a little bit of a shock to the system. But yeah, it melted within about half an hour. But yeah, it's getting cold.
And when you get into the depths of winter, just how cold does it get?
You know, I'd say between 0 and 10. I mean, it doesn't really go below 0 very often. Yeah, it's not too bad, you know. You just got to wrap up if you want to go outside. But, you know, you're only going outside to make a snowman or to go and ski. In both of those conditions, you're wrapped up nicely, right? So, yeah, it's not too bad.
Yeah, it's like I think the Norwegians say no such thing as cold weather, only bad clothing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm all for that. You know, last year when we got together with friends, we were pretty strict and didn't have friends over inside. So we just put our ski gear on, gathered around a fire and had a couple of glasses of wine. It was fine.
Sounds excellent. Well, as I mentioned earlier, you've been out of New Zealand permanently, you know, for quite a long time now, living in a few countries, living in, I think, Japan for the best part of 10 years, Singapore as well, before settling in the US. But Rebecca, for you, what part of New Zealand do you consider home, if you still consider it home after all these years?
Of course, yeah, it's still home to me, but I feel like I have a few different homes now after living so long in those different countries. But yeah, Wellington. I grew up in Wellington and loved my childhood. It was a great time. I studied at Victoria. So yeah, Wellington's my home.
Excellent. When I read about your business, you're out of the workforce for quite some time with family and all of that, but you now have an extremely successful business, Top Seeds. Can you tell us about it?
Yeah, when we moved to the US in 2015, like you said, I'd been out of the workforce in Japan. We'd been there for 10 years and I'd been raising the children and, you know, getting them going in life. It was a lot of fun. I was very lucky to be able to do that. But when we moved here in 2015, they were then teenagers and I thought, okay, it's time to do something for myself. They're quite happy on their own, quite capable. So I looked for a job, couldn't find a job because I had a 10-year gap, you know, understandable, and thought, okay, I'm lucky enough. My husband has health insurance. He has a proper job, earning some money. You know, it's not so important that I earn money at this point. I thought, okay, I'll combine my passion for great food and nutrition and the connection between nutrition and how your body performs, and I'll start a food business. And I'd been making crackers and roasted seeds for a long time. So I thought, okay, I'll give it a try. And started off in a farmer's market, selling in a winter's farmer's market. It was really quiet, but it was a great way to start. And then from there, got into a big supermarket chain over here called Wegmans. And just slowly grew. Then I got into Whole Foods. And yeah, now we're in over 300 stores throughout the US and just continuing to grow as much as we can.
300 stores, that's amazing. And yeah, there was an article about you in Stuff and the Dominion Post, a local paper in Wellington, because you recently won a prize of, I think, $1 million, or so about 1.4 million New Zealand dollars for local businesses in your area. What's that going to mean for you?
Yeah, it's fantastic. Hard to believe still, but yeah, it just means that we can now meet demand. I mean, we're just trying to churn the crackers out as fast as we can, but we have a very manual process at the moment. So we're trying to set up a new facility and where we can automate a few of our processes and get the production numbers up and get into a few more stores, actually make some sales calls. At the moment, customers have been calling us, asking us to sell our crackers and seeds in their stores. But now we'll be able to proactively go out there and get some more customers once we increase that production.
That's brilliant. And in the Stuff article about you, it did mention, as you said there, starting out in the farmer's market, cold days, as few as five customers sometimes. I mean, at that point, I mean, there are lots of people that do this. I mean, you know, looking around a farmer's market, you would never know, wouldn't you? Because there's so much good food, high quality food, and people who are really committed to it. You know, you'd never know, would you, which ones are, you know, likely to be, if they could be more widely available, would be businesses that would really take off, that could be in, like yours, 300 stores. I mean, was there ever a point where you thought, actually, if I'm only getting five customers a day, I don't know if I'll stick with it?
No. You know, it was kind of a relief because it was only me making them at that point. So it actually was a blessing in disguise because, you know, once I got into the bigger stores, it was kind of almost this panic when people would buy too many. I think, oh, I just sold everything. I'm going to have to make another couple of hundred boxes of crackers. But I didn't have staff at that point, so I was having to get up at 5 in the morning and bake until 2 or 3 on my own. And I was in they call it a commissary space over here. So it's a shared facility and you can book so many hours or they tell you when time is free so you can go in. But I knew I had limited hours in this facility to make the crackers. So no, it worked out really well starting that way until I could get established and set up my own facility.
This $1 million prize that I mentioned there, have I got it right? Have I characterised it the right way? Because it is actually part of a sort of business accelerator program. So is it more accurately a kind of investment in your business?
Yeah, that's right. They get 5% of our business, but the money is fabulous, of course. I'm not going to say anything bad about that, but there's a year's worth of mentorship and the connections and help that they'll provide for the next year is going to be invaluable. And we also get office space for the management. Our management team will get office space with the other companies that were in the competition and with this business accelerator. And yeah, it's I'm excited. I can't wait. It's going to be fabulous.
And was there a kind of dragon's den element to this where you had to persuade the judges that you were the ones that deserved the prize, or was it just them, you know, weighing up paperwork and looking at your business and making the decision that way?
Oh, I'd love if it was just the paperwork. Yeah, no, it was probably the scariest experience I've ever been through, other than bungee jumping down in Queenstown. Yeah, it was multiple pitches. I'd say the process was about 6 to 8 weeks. And, you know, there were many rounds. And each round, there were different judges and different criteria, different things that they wanted us to pitch. And the last week of the competition, we had to pitch, I'd say, 3 or 4 times in, you know, auditoriums in front of lots and lots of people. So it was, you know, I didn't eat for that week nearly because I was just so scared. You know, when you start a business, you don't think that you're going to have to do these kind of things. You think, okay, yeah, that'll be fun. I'll start a business. But no one says you may have to present in front of 3,000 people.
3,000?
And sell your business.
3,000? Yeah, that's practically a stadium.
Yeah, it was it's a big theatre here in Buffalo. It's a beautiful old theatre called Shays. So, yeah, 3,000 people. I nearly died of fright. I don't know how I got through it. But, yeah, apparently I did okay. So that was good.
Okay, so it sounds like you weren't expecting to win. But, I mean, at one stage, we believe during the competition, one of the judges said they were so impressed with your business that they probably invest in it, you know, whether you won the big prize or not. That must have been a good sign.
Yeah, that was a good sign. But we were kept in separate areas during other people's pitches and even after my own pitch as well. We could have watched the other pitches, but to be honest, everyone was so nervous and hyped up. Just all I could hear, and we had each had separate rooms, but there was a big long hallway around the back of where we were, and people were just parading up and down, just reciting their pitch and, you know, just trying to prepare themselves. So I didn't really know how the other people were getting treated. I didn't know if they'd said that kind of thing to everyone. And I really, yeah, truly wasn't expecting it. I mean, I just had to keep saying to myself, you know, it's been a great week because we'd worked so hard on everything. So it's fine. If I don't even win 500,000, it's fine. I'm good.
Oh, that's excellent. And stuff here also reported that almost all of your staff are women. Some actually from refugee communities. You know, that's quite remarkable. Yep. Was that a conscious decision you took that you wanted to staff your company that way?
Yeah, I had a friend who was volunteering at an organisation over here that helps refugees settle in Buffalo when they first come here, find them homes and schools and stuff. And she told me that there was a lot of people there looking for work. So it's just a perfect fit. They're from Afghanistan, Eritrea, Somalia, Iraq, all over the place. And as you mentioned before, I've lived in Singapore, lived in Japan, and I've always been in an international community and love it. Why not continue that way? And I got a good welcome in Buffalo, so I thought, okay, this is a nice way to help welcome some other people here to Buffalo, get them set up. They don't need to have great English. So, you know, it's a perfect fit. You know, the 20 of our staff are refugees, all women.
And Rebecca, what's it like running a business in the current COVID times? Has it changed the way that you run Top Seeds?
Yeah, I guess through the year and a half, nearly 2 years now, isn't it, since we've been in this pandemic, things have changed a little bit. Luckily, of course, people were still needing food and going to the supermarket, so our sales haven't been affected. We've had a little bit of trouble with staff. At one point, a lot of our staff were on catching buses, so they couldn't get to work, or as you said, they're women, so they were having to stay home with their kids when schools were shut down. But things seem to have settled down a little now. We've got a steady group of people, a good group of staff who are here now. So that's kind of fixed itself. The other problem we had was it's all about demoing and getting the crackers into people's mouths. So we had a great system set up where we were getting demo staffed into all the stores at least twice a month, each store, which was a fabulous way to grow the business and get new customers. So that shut down as soon as, you know, COVID hit. There was no demos to be seen. And even if there were demos carrying on, no one wanted to touch food that was had been sitting there, right? So we now send lots of samples out in mini boxes, which is probably a little more expensive, but you know, we've just had to adapt and this is working. So, you know, we've just got to carry on with the new system and it's working. It's good.
And Rebecca, what sort of place is Buffalo to live? Has it got big city problems, Buffalo? Crazy traffic and house prices, things like that? Or is it small enough a place you don't
actually
have to cover that?
Yeah, it's like, well, I, you know, as you said, I haven't been home for quite a while, but I feel like it's a little bit like Wellington was or maybe still is. I don't know when I grew up. It's small enough that we don't have those problems. There's absolutely no traffic. You know, we were joking last night that someone had to wait on the street near my home for 5 minutes. There was a bit of a blockage and we were laughing. That was the rush hour there. Yeah, no traffic and the housing prices are still pretty reasonable. You can definitely get a decent house here for not too much money. We get a lot of concerts because I guess we're close enough. They just come on the route through Toronto to us or from New York City to us. And in the winter, we're only half an hour's drive away from a great ski field. The summers are incredible. You know, we got teased mercilessly when we got told we were moving here. But the summers are fantastic. A lot of people have swimming pools. It's about 30, 32 degrees pretty much all summer long. So it's fantastic. And then the winters are just snow. So if you like that kind of temperature, it's fine. There's not a lot of rain. It's snow or sun. You know, it's a nice place to live. A lot going on.
That's fantastic. And Niagara Falls, of course, you mentioned earlier on your doorstep. Is that sort of top of the must-see attractions? If, you know, the borders open tomorrow and I was able to pop in for a visit, where would you send me?
Yeah, we'd go straight up to Niagara Falls. We have a Frank Lloyd Wright. Do you know the architect? We have a Frank Lloyd Wright house here that I'd take you to see. There's a great harbour kind of area here as well, or canal side kind of a place. Yeah, there's a lot going on. Great food. This is where the home of the wings, right? You'd have to have some buffalo wings and some great beer.
Good, yeah. Yep, local brewery. It's a cool place.
Lots of local breweries.
Absolutely. And I guess if I did come with you, I won't want for snacks as well on the way to the brewery, so that's good.
Exactly, yeah. We can have crackers. We can fill our pockets with crackers and go and have some beer. Yeah, so there's a brewery here, 42 North. Great beer. And actually they made a beer at one point with New Zealand hops.
Ah, okay. That's definitely on my list then. That's great. Your kids, by the way, would have been born overseas, right? Because you've been out of the country so long. Do they identify as Kiwi, or is that part of their heritage? I mean, some have even left home now, right? One's at university, I think.
Yeah, one's at university. But, yeah, they're all – my husband is Irish, so they're all Irish, or they say they're Irish and Kiwi. You know, they're nothing else. They can't really say they're Japanese or Singaporean or American. No, they're Kiwis and Irish, yeah.
Are you also, we hear, trying to grow Fijoas?
I am.
And how does that go at 42 degrees north?
When it was snowing, like I said, last weekend, my husband and I had this little contraption with wheels trying to pull the pots. We kept the Fijoa trees in pots, quickly trying to pull them into the garage. I wasn't quite sure if Fijoas were able to be out in snow. They're about 2 centimetres long. We actually have 6 Fijoas growing on one of the trees. So I'm trying to protect them, and now they're in the garage, which I'm not sure how that's going to work out. But let's see. I might have to pick them early. 2 centimetres is better than nothing, right?
Well, possibly you're actually talking to the wrong guy. I'm with the Scottish comedian who visited recently and was given one and said, "You want me to eat this? It tastes like shampoo."
Oh, no. Oh, my gosh. It's the best fruit in the world. Wow.
Afraid so. Crazy. No, not for me. Not for me. Hey, speaking of food, though, I better move on. I've clearly upset you. You've got Thanksgiving around the corner. Do you go full bore for that and the turkey feast and all of that jazz? It's actually next week, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. It's next Thursday. Yeah, we do. It's a lot of fun, actually. It's one of the greatest holidays ever. There's no presents. It's just nice, just a great family event. And we start the morning. There's one of the longest running runs in the world here. It's called the Turkey Trot. yeah.
I've got visions in my head of them, you know, hooked up to a trotting buggy and a harness with a rider, but that's not what it is, I take it.
Well, yeah, no, we're the turkeys. We get up and, you know, sometimes it's like 5 degrees. Apparently it's not going to be too bad next Thursday. Every half of Buffalo is there. You get out and you run a 5-mile run together and then go home and you can eat as much as you want, guilt-free, right, because you've just done this 5-mile run. So our whole family goes and does it, you know, and there's a lot of people dressing up. I think my son said this year, the one in university, said he's carrying a canoe with his friend and running the race.
Okay, you are the turkeys. I get it now. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they won't look out of place. There's a lot of people running in crazy outfits. And yeah, it's a nice way to start the morning.
Well, look, Rebecca, you seem like the business is obviously thriving. The family seems very settled and at home. You clearly love where you live. Do you think you'll be there forever? Because you have moved around. But and also, I mean, returning to New Zealand some point ever to live?
Oh, I hope so. You know, but who knows, right? You know, you make plans, but then things happen and day or you go, I don't know. It's really hard to look into the crystal ball for the future for us, but I hope one day to get home, at least for a holiday, would be nice without having to be an MIQ, right? It's been tough, you know, because we did come home every Christmas and we've missed a couple now, so it will be nice to get home one day, at least for a holiday. Let's see.
Hope we do see you back in the region and... in the meantime, all the best. You've got $1 million to play with, a business mentor, I guess, to keep happy as well. But it sounds like the business is going great guns. So, look, We will keep an eye out for top seeds. But in the meantime, thanks so much for joining us on Sunday morning, Rebecca Brady.